Snow White is a fairy tale that traffics in some tropes that we might now roll our eyes at. Feminine jealousy, unrealistic expectations of beauty, a woman cleaning up after 7 ungrateful men. Now Snow White has gotten a feminist adaptation, a dark and chilly fantasy, which even has a touch of Frozen thrown in. It's called Girls Made of Snow and Glass, and author Melissa Basherdeust joins me now from member station KCLU in California. Hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
When I said chilly, I meant it. Your story is set in a kingdom cursed with an eternal winter. Winter is here. It's not coming. But can you set up the two women we're following, Linnet, who is the daughter of the king, and Mina, who is her stepmother?
Yes. So Mina was ill as a child. And so her father, who was a magician, cut out her heart and replaced it with one of glass. And it keeps her original sort of dying heart in a jar now, just to torment her with. Meanwhile, Linnet, who was born up north in the snowy part of the kingdom, her father commissioned that same magician to make him a daughter out of snow and blood in the shape of her dead mother so that he would have sort of a piece of her even after she's dead. And he keeps telling her how much like her mother she is. So she's growing up with that shadow over her.
I'm the mother of a 4-year-old girl, and I have to say, one of the things that infuriates me in fairy tales is exactly this aging woman trope that is so prevalent in fairy tales, where you always see sort of aging woman trying to take away the beauty and youth and power of a younger woman. But what's interesting about this book is that you really focus on the roles of the fathers and how both Mina and Linnet's fathers sort of remove their ability to define themselves on their own terms. And they actually have a lot in common.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I planned it that way a little bit, just so that they would have those parallels that draw them together, even as they're being forced apart. For me, I used a sort of very literal metaphor in making the fathers sort of represent patriarchal institutions, patriarchal society, where you have one father who is very directly trying to put down his daughter and tell her that she's not worthy. And meanwhile, you have the other father who is trying to place his daughter on a pedestal and sort of idealize her in a way that doesn't feel right to her either. So in both cases, they're projecting these images on them and not letting them define themselves. And I wanted to address that because I think there are so many evil or negative maternal figures in fairy tales, and we don't really hold the fathers accountable as often, or even considering the forces behind perhaps some of those negative maternal figures.
When you started to write this book, why did you, first of all, choose Snow White? There are so many fairy tales to choose from. And and did you start by thinking that you'd have sort of 7 dwarves and a poisoned apple? Or did you think that you wanted to choose something completely different?
Well, it's interesting. Okay, so actually it starts with Vincent Price, where I was watching the Snow White episode of Fairy Tale Theater, which I loved when I was younger because Vincent Price is the magic mirror and I was going through like a phase. So I watched that episode. And what really sort of caught my imagination was this idea that the mirror doesn't really need to be magic, that even if the mirror didn't talk, when we look in the mirror ourselves, we hear that same voice telling us that we're not pretty enough or comparing us to someone else and just highlighting all of our insecurities. And so that my very first thought was to write just a psychological retelling of Snow White just as a character study of the evil queen with no magic. And then eventually I, you know, sprinkled some magic back in because it's more fun that way for me. Mm. And then it expanded into being about the stepmother's relationship with her stepdaughter, too.
So there's another thing that makes this not your typical Disney plot. There's a subplot with Linnet and her feelings towards Nadia, a surgeon in the castle. We have no prince in this retelling. We have something else. Can you talk about that relationship?
Yeah. I didn't want to do a prince from the beginning because I usually am bored by the prince in any given fairy tale. So I didn't. I kind of knew that wasn't going to be part of it. So originally that character wasn't female. Originally that character was male just because I was going with default, I guess. But every draft, that character never worked. And as soon as I changed that character to female, everything made so much more sense. Not that I even needed a reason to do it necessarily, but I was so happy that it created this extra layer with the story because Linnet's story is about self-discovery. And so for her to want something other than what she's been told she should want her whole life, it just flowed really beautifully into that, I think.
This book has been marketed as young adult, though it is a great read for older folks too. Is it, though, something that is important for young women to read about and sort of understand in a more complicated way?
I hope so. I spend a lot of time talking about self-determination, I think, in the book. And I think that's something teenagers especially are struggling with because we're still with our parents at this point or with our families. And so there's a lot of negotiation in terms of trying to figure out who we are, even as there are other people in our lives who'd want us to be something differently. And also just there are so many mixed messages from media telling you what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong and how pretty you are and how pretty you aren't and who you should be friends with. And it gets confusing. And I hope that my book can kind of cut through some of that, maybe a little bit.
Any other fairy tales that you're wanting to tackle?
Yeah, I want to do Sleeping Beauty. I want to take
on
Sleeping Beauty so much. Yeah, I'm like obsessed with Sleeping Beauty, actually, which is kind of surprising in that it seems like the anti-feminist one, but I really just want to like flip it out. Like I love the idea of there being this like girl who seems passive, but she's surrounded by thorns, and anyone who tries to get to her is just like murdered basically on the way there. Like there's something really interesting to me about that contrast, and I want to play with it a little bit.
Melissa Bashardou's novel is Girls Made of Snow and Glass. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me.